Well, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to top that. I don't think I can. I didn't even remember a joke this morning, of all the days to not remember a joke. Gee whiz. Well, I want to start out this morning telling you a little something about myself that you probably already know. And that's that God has given me a heart to reach people with the gospel. The vision that He's given me for this church is one of reaching out to the community, those who don't know Christ. And God has recently put it on my heart that I needed to be in prayer for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. During that time of prayer, I believe God made it clear to me that the majority of folks here probably have no idea what that is all about. And He also made it clear that I needed to raise awareness this morning. I prayed and considered how to do this, and I thought, you know, as a group, we've never had a problem with taking the name of a child and buying a gift for that child. And oftentimes these are children that'll never step foot inside of this church. But as a church, we struggle to raise our goal of $200 to support the missionaries who are risking their lives to take the gospel around the world. And that bothers me a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that buying those gifts for those children isn't important, because it is, and I'll probably be a part of that myself. But I want you to think about something. If as a church, if we had, say, 25 kids that we spent an average of $50 on each one, that would be $1,250 that we as a body put towards that. And the last I knew, we had less than $40 so far for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And I have to be honest, it saddens me a little bit to know that there are people out there that want to take the gospel to other parts of the world, and the funds aren't there for them to do it. But it saddens me most because as a group, I know we can make a difference. So the goal of this morning is to bring a better understanding as to why we need to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and to make sure that everyone understands exactly who Lottie Moon actually was. Well, as I searched for detailed information about her life, I went to the International Mission Board webpage, and I found some resources by David Platt, who is the president of the IMB, which we've talked about that several times before. But one of the resources was a short sermon outline that he encouraged churches and pastors to use to raise awareness for giving and praying for the IMB through things like the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. I know I may never be gifted to preach quite the way David Platt does, but I really felt like I needed to share that message with you all this morning because it was quite powerful. The message title was this: Why Should We Say, I Will? Why should every single person say to God, I will pray however you want me to pray, I will give whatever you want me to give, and I will go wherever you want me to go. I will go to my neighbor. I'll go to another nation. And not just another nation, but nations like Iraq or Syria or Somalia. I'll give whatever you want me to give. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Why should every single Christian say that? Why must every single Christian say that? Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with one he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." He said, "Go tell the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they say with their lips and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed." Then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste without inhabitants, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men from far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as the tabernacle tree, or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump." This morning I want to talk about four things that were laid out in this message based on this scripture. The first one is this: we have an incomprehensible, glorious God. During the time of Isaiah, King Uzziah had reigned over Judah for 52 years. The king had been the only ruler that generation had ever known. But when he died, his reign came to an end. And in contrast, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Like Uzziah, kings, presidents, leaders have come and gone throughout history. But only one true king remains. God's reign knows no end. In Isaiah's vision, the Lord is surrounded by angelic attendants, seraphs. The name means burning ones. The angels are consumed in a blaze with the worship of God. And these heavenly beings circle the throne of God, shouting and singing praises. They're still doing it right now. They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." His holiness is all-encompassing. The extent of his majesty is terrifying to behold. God's holiness doesn't just mean he's sinless. It means he's without equal. That's a powerful statement. It means he is without equal. We have an incomprehensible, glorious God. The second thing this morning is we are a sinfully lost people. In response to seeing the vision of the fullness of God's glory, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." We might think sometimes, well, we're not so bad. I'm not so bad. But we don't have a clue as to the seriousness of our own sin. The man-centered perspective that we have, we view sin as a small offense that can be excused, not really warranting an indefinite punishment. But the magnitude of sin isn't determined by how small or large you and I perceive that sin. The magnitude of the sin is determined by the one who is sinned against. One sin, that initial disobedience of Adam and Eve to the command of an infinitely holy God, brought condemnation to all mankind. And it continues to affect the entire world today. At its core, sin is a personal affront to God. And it leads to the most important question of the entire universe. How can sinful people stand before an incomprehensibly great God and not receive that infinite punishment? That brings us to point number three. It's because we have a merciful Savior. How can a holy God say to a guilty sinner that he's innocent? That doesn't seem fair. But by His great grace, He has a great plan. God made a way for us to avoid punishment, that punishment that we deserve. God wills to show us mercy so that He can choose to provide atonement for our sin. So how is this possible? In Isaiah 6, verses 6 and 7, the live coal from the altar of sacrifice is a picture of what's to come. It's a picture given throughout the Old Testament that points to Christ. He alone would endure the penalty for sin in our place. And He alone has made a way for sinners to stand innocent, to be made righteous before God. This is a scandal of infinitely significant importance. Through the sacrifice of His Son on behalf of sinners, God has made a way for salvation for all of us. And that brings us to the fourth point this morning. We have an indescribable, urgent mission. How do we respond to the mercy that God has shown? Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Is what God asked. And Isaiah responded, "Here I am. Send me." The grace of God is not designed for casual acceptance. It compels each and every one of us to abandon plans, dreams, possessions, priorities, things we treasure, and our pleasures in this world. Our King is worthy of so much more than casual Christianity. He is worthy of absolute submission, absolute surrender to His purpose, declaring His glory and His gospel to the ends of the earth, and especially to those who are unreached, is an urgent mission. The unreached are people who have never heard the good news of the gospel and currently don't have access to this news. This includes more than 2.8 billion people around the world. Why must we urgently pursue these people? Why must we take the command of God to go to all these people more serious? Why must we stop giving only our spare time and our leftover resources to this task? Because their partial knowledge of God is enough to condemn them to hell. Every unreached person in this world has some knowledge of God. Whether it's a man in an African jungle, a woman in a remote Asian village, or a nomad in a desert. Even if they haven't heard the gospel, they have seen evidence of God. Every person in the world stands guilty of sin before God, which is why he or she needs to hear the good news of the gospel. This means that there are more than 2.8 billion people in the world who don't have enough knowledge of God to show them how glorious He is. They are sinfully lost without the rest of the gospel. And as Christians, it's our job to take it to them. The gospel of God is powerful enough to save them from hell and admit them to heaven for all eternity. The gospel of a merciful Savior is good news for every people group on this planet. It's great news. It saves lives. There is not a people group on the planet that is beyond the power of God to save. Because the glory of God is good enough to satisfy each and every one of us forever. There's a day coming when our Savior and King is going to return. And He'll be surrounded by people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue. We'll see His face and be together in His glory. This is what we live for as Christians. This is what we die for. This is why God has given us breath. David's message was concluded by him saying this. This is why we must say without condition and regardless of the cost, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." I want you to know this morning that this is exactly why we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the reason that it bears the name of Lottie Moon is because that's exactly what she did. She said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And this morning I want to tell you a little bit more about her life. She was born December 12th, 1840, in Albemarle County, Virginia. And she eventually died aboard a ship in the Japanese harbor of Kobe on December 24th, 1912. In 1918, the WMU, the Women's Missionary Union, named the annual Christmas offering for international missions after her because she was the one that had urged them to start it to begin with. She was passionate about people knowing Christ, and she didn't hesitate to tell people about her passions. You know, today, China is a world of rapid change. There are about 1.4 billion individuals in China, one-fifth of the world's population. It's exploding with megacities. And it definitely holds its own in our world economy. But it's very different from the farmland that Lottie Moon entered in the 1800s. But one thing is still exactly the same. They still have a need for a Savior. When she set sail for China, Lottie was 32 years old. She turned down a marriage proposal. She left a job, a home, and a family to follow God's lead. Her path definitely wasn't typical of the average educated woman from a wealthy southern family. But God had gotten a hold of her with the need of the Chinese people, the people of China, for a Savior. And as a result, for 39 years, she labored as a missionary to those very people. You know, at first, she was refused and rejected, but she wouldn't leave. Folks would smell the aroma of fresh baked cookies coming from her house. And she had adopted the traditional Chinese dress. She even learned the language and customs. She didn't just serve the people of China. She identified with them. And many eventually accepted her. And some even accepted her Savior. She had a vision of what needed to happen. You know, she wrote letters home from China detailing, you know, the hunger for the truth that these folks had and the struggle of so few missionaries taking the gospel to 472 million Chinese in her day. She shared the urgent need for more workers, and for Southern Baptists to support them through prayer and giving. She once wrote a letter to the Foreign Mission Board saying, "Please say to the new missionaries that they are coming to a life of hardship, responsibility, and constant self-denial." Her work was constantly threatened by disease, confusion, a lack of help. But she gave herself completely to God. And she helped to lay the foundation for what is the modern Chinese church, one of the fastest growing Christian movements in the world. Lottie Moon died at 72 after almost four decades of ministering to the Chinese people. But her legacy is still with us now. It's still with us today. And we've reached the point where God is calling more people to the mission field than there's funding to support. That's why today God has asked me to challenge this church to sacrificial giving and prayer. and to do it with a little more urgency than what we've been doing. I want you to broaden your perspective. You know, I know that we can make a difference right here in this area by helping needy children to realize that they're important to God. We can do that by giving those gifts that Mary talked about earlier. We can do that by giving that gift of life through the blood drive. But we can also help people all over the world come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We can help shape the eternity of someone all the way on the other side of the world with that sacrificial giving and prayer. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, "Now the preacher's asking us for money again." And you're right, I am. But I don't see a single dime of it, and neither does this church. I want you to know this morning that anything you give to that, 100% goes directly to those missionaries. And if that doesn't convince you and you're still saying, "Well, he's just after our money," I'm here to tell you that's nothing but an excuse on your part. Nothing but an excuse. As I said, 100% of that money goes directly to missionaries who are risking their lives to spread the gospel of Christ. And we as a church have the opportunity to help. And my question this morning is, will you? We shouldn't struggle to come up with $200 as a church to give towards reaching people with the gospel. And that's the challenge this morning. That number ought to have at least another zero on it. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I just ask that you close your eyes and bow your head for just a minute. And as always, I just want you to listen to me for a second. You know, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that every single one of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for that sin is death. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But He didn't stop there, because 3 days later, He rose from the grave having conquered death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. I want you to know today can be the day that you start a relationship with Christ. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. As I tell you every week, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. It's hard. But you can start that relationship today. In just a minute, this altar is going to be open for you to pray. This morning, maybe God has touched your heart in a way that made you realize that you need to make some changes in your life. Maybe He's convicted you to give to that Lottie Moon Christmas offering right now. If that's the case, I want you to know that there's an envelope in the seat in front of you or somewhere close to you. And during this time of invitation, there's no reason why you can't put something in there and bring it right up here and put it in the offering plate. Right here at the front of the church. I don't know what God's leading you to do this morning, but you do. And I want you to remember one thing. Delayed obedience is actually disobedience. Father, we stand before You amazed by the grace that You have shown us in Christ. We don't deserve anything but death, and You love us anyway. I know that You want to do an amazing work through this body of believers, And I just pray that you would continue to inspire this group, to be an example to this community to follow. Father, I pray that this community would see you in this body of believers, and that they would recognize that what they see in us is exactly what is missing in their lives. Help each and every person here, Lord, to be a light for you. We need your wisdom and your guidance to be able to do that. Father, help this body to see that you don't want us to be internally focused. And we have the ability to reach so much more than just this community. We have the ability to reach this entire world through giving and prayer. We can be a part of that. We ask for your will and your will alone this morning. If there are changes that need to be made, we ask that they be inspired by you and you alone. This time of invitation is yours to use as you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. As all